30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. And welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam. I'm tired. Last night I was up late watching the UConn-Iowa game. Because, you know, like, I think we've said it before, me and Peter were kind of ahead of the curve on women's basketball as a, you know, as a sport that should be watched. So we will take full credit for this. But regardless, I was watching the game last night, and then I watched the girls on the bus after, which means I didn't go to bed until almost 2 in the morning because I was playing Stardew Valley and got really hooked into it. It's one of those games where I continue to, as I play, get hooked in every time I do. Check out my review over on the backlog files of 1.6, because, you know, I talked about it at length. What we're here to talk about today is the new episode of The Girls on the Bus, which is, I'll say it, I think it's one of my favorite shows of the year. I will be hard-pressed at the end of the year to find a show that is as strong as The Girls on the Bus, as consistently as The Girls on the Bus is. Because it just continues to be great as it goes. This week we have, you know, Sadie has been taken off the case, and she's no longer working the Walker campaign, ahead of South Carolina, so she is now, you know, back in New York and dealing with this crisis of confidence. She's talking to her mom, she's talking to, you know, ghosts that aren't really there, because this is a Greg Berlanti show, and that's what we do here. It's, you know, and I think the show is, you know, and they handle it pretty well. Her dealing with the fact that, like, letting her talk it out with someone who's not really there is a great choice. And then going into this idea of, like, look, what you did was wrong, but it's no different than what's been done historically in this industry forever. And you never criticized the male reporters for it. So for her to have that moment with the team at the New York Times, it's a great moment for her. At the same time, we also have the story, which is kind of the B plot of the episode, which is the wedding slash engagement party of Kimberlyn. Who works for Not Fox News. That's also interesting. And I think that probably one of the most interesting, you know, points for this show is them grappling with this question of what are the expectations that have befallen, Kimberlyn. Now that she's married. And I think that the question that gets raised by her now husband's mother is fantastic. Like, and the way she responds to it, where it's like this thing of like, oh, this is not what he signed up for. And it's like, I'm like, that's not fair, because this is exactly what he signed up for. Like, this could not be more what he signed up for when he signed up to marry her. Because this is her career. This is what she does. And to say, like, oh, he didn't sign up for this. Like, no, he did. And it is an interesting look at, like, you know, conservatism outside of the white community. Because at the end of the day, that's what this kind of is. It is the form of conservatism that she is, you know, giving and espousing is continuing to come back and harm her in her professional and personal career. And I think that that's why she continues to be the most interesting character, because, like, we've had characters like Sadie before. But that doesn't mean that Sadie's still not fun to watch, and it's like, she's still great in this. And that moment at the end where Sadie and Carla Gugino's character, Grace, are getting together, and it's like, look, I'm still with not the New York Times, you're still with not the Washington Post, this is a big story we're dealing with. This is going to be something that we need to work together before the editorial and both our papers get their hands on it. So we're going to work together in the best interest of the public at large to break this story. Like, it's a great moment that lands in that third act, and I think that that's something that, like, and gets you interested to go forward. And keeping in mind that we know that this is going to culminate at the DNC with Sadie getting arrested. And we still don't know for what yet. We have 5 episodes to go. We still don't know what she does to get the feds on her case. And it's an interesting way to leave this show, going. I can never remember the influencer girl's name. Probably because I think her story, I've said this before, the weakness in this show is the way they handle the influencer. Because it's not just that the characters are dismissive of it, it's kind of like the writers are dismissive of her and her brand of journalism. Where it's like, look, it seems like what they're trying to do is prove that, this is kind of silly to keep them on the same level as everyone else. And it's like, at the same time, you get these characters like last episode where Sadie is, taking her under her wing, for lack of a better word. Like, and teaching her, like, this is what you gotta know, this is how this works, this is what you gotta do. And for all that to work, we need to care about the character a little bit. And I think the issue is, it's like, her stories don't really dovetail in as much, and we're now 5 episodes in, and she still seems to be a little bit behind in terms of understanding the gravitas of what's going on around her. Because that's one of the things that another thing I enjoy about the show. They don't shy away from, like, this is a show that is, for lack of a better word, lampooning modern American politics, but at the same time, it's not shying away from showing, like, this is still a momentous thing that happens every 4 years, and attributing that gravitas to the election cycle. And she is still continuing to just be like, I'm here for my candidate, and not in the same way that, like, Sandy or Grace is for Walker. It's like the way that she is for the not AOC character's name, but, her. Like, where it's like, I'm here to support her, that's it. She's basically a groupie, is the way they're kind of portraying her. Which I feel like is the biggest weakness of the show, is the portrayal of her. But yeah, I mean, I still enjoy this show week in and week out, and that's not to say still, as in, like, there was a chance I wouldn't. Like, I do believe this is one of the stronger shows on television right now. The idea that, I think that it's executing very well. It's definitely the best non, like, DC Max show I've seen. Because, like, I'll say it's up there in that conversation. But we'll wrap up there for tonight. Our next episode we'll do next week will be continuation of these 3 shows, and then Civil War next week. So until our next episode, have a great rest of your week.